Today on Real Radio.
Christianity presents the kingdom of God. Stop promoting your church. Stop promoting your pastor or wherever you come from or this place. Stop it. Time is running out. Promote the kingdom of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Corinthians, written by Paul the Apostle. We're looking at the last 8 verses of chapter 4 now. It's one of the passages where Paul declares that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In other words, our Judeo-Christian faith is not only logical and defensible, but it transforms lives by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's something even the most stubborn opponents cannot dispute. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Why Christianity is Such a Problem.
Paul is saying, put your eyes on, listen, Paul, this is radical. Paul is saying, put your eyes on me and do what I do. And I want to make mention of this for a second. A couple weeks ago, Lisa and I were at the swap meet, Orange County swap meet. Swap meet, not swamp meet. And they had, she said, you need to get those. It's 24, two dozen Sharpie indelible markers. You know Sharpies? Different colors for $5. 24 of them for $5. That got my attention. So much so that she goes, grab those. Those are, you need those. I went over there and I said, $5? 24 for $5? I went and I'm looking, what could possibly be wrong? And then it just sounded too good to be true. And I looked, and it didn't say Sharpie. It said Sharpie. Same font. You know what they're doing? They're a knockoff. Like Rolex watches for $45. Rolex watch. Don't buy a Rolex. It'll last 24 hours. That hand makes it one time around and falls off. They're called knockoffs. And Paul is saying, imitate me because I'm not a knockoff. Paul is saying about those who are puffed up. He says they're fake. They're full of hot air. He says, strong words. You bet they're strong words. Why does he say such a thing? Because he was serious about Jesus, church. Watch this. Later on in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate who? Christ. There you go. You say, isn't Paul arrogant for saying imitate me? No. In fact, isn't it what a husband does to that brand new bride that he takes? And he says, listen, sweetie, I'm the head of you. Christ is the head of me. As I follow Jesus, you follow me. And when that man follows Christ, you'll never hear that woman gripe or complain because that man is devoted to Christ. And she will love it. Why? Because this man's answering to Christ, he will treat her like Christ treats the church, right? You say, I don't believe in that. Well, that's your problem. That's the model God created. And it works if the man will follow Christ. And here's the thing. Paul is saying Christianity works as long as the leaders in Christianity keep their eyes on Christ and are following Christ. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Christianity is not somehow fragmented or frail because of the church or its leaders. Christianity will endure. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. Good leaders and bad leaders. His blood bought the church. Here's the difference, and it's for you to judge. Are you following Jesus? Husband, are you leading that home in Christ, Father? Dad, is this church being led by God? Am I on my face before the Lord? Paul is saying, follow my life. Listen, obviously he was an apostle and he was touring constantly. Paul didn't have a private life much at all. Can you imagine? He didn't have British Airways to fly around Europe on. He had a donkey or a camel. He was constantly on the go, no doubt, with a large group of people. and they knew him. And he said, I'm sending Timothy to you ahead of my coming. That's an awesome statement. Why? How could he say that? Because he had a new life. And that's a tremendous power, church. Also, verses 18 to 19, Christianity creates a changing life. A changing. That is in the continuum now, constantly changing. Christianity creates a new life, but also Christianity creates a changing life. Have you grown since you've come to Christ? The day that you said yes to Jesus, has your life changed? Is your life changing? Isn't that the greatest passion? I don't know. I'm assuming it is. It is in my home with my family is, Lord, I'm terrified of being the same Christian I am today next year. Doesn't that scare you, James? Doesn't that scare you guys? To be the same Christian that I am right now, this time next year, is terrifying to me. Why? Because the Bible says he's changing us from glory to glory. God is at work in your life. He's moving. You say, well, I'm not growing very much. You just indicted yourself. Out of your own mouth, you've said you're not praying much. You're not reading much. You're not open to God much. A changing life. He says, now some of you are puffed up, you guys, as though I were not coming. Oh, you're shooting your mouth off, hoping I don't show up. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. He's implying to the Corinthians, you guys forget easy. I'll be back, is what Paul is saying. Jesus said in Luke 22:19 regarding communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, we're supposed to have communion until he comes back. And Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that awesome? Do you have joy and peace? It's because your life's changing. It's growing. I'm not talking head knowledge. The Corinthians had head knowledge. They were Greeks. They had the brains, but they lacked the spirit. And then also this, obviously, it's the power. Christianity creates a power-filled life. Verse 19, and he says, I know that not the word, I will know, he says, excuse me, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. The word puffed up. Watch this. This is great. He says, I don't care what they say. Oh, church, listen. Is somebody shooting their mouth off? Don't listen to what they say. If somebody, just tremendously gifted at the ability to hold a crowd or speak or sell Amway or Tony Robbins. You know what I'm saying? Be careful. Paul says, I tell you what, this is cool. I'm going to show up and I'm going to come into town. And this is what I see in my mind. Well, so it's dangerous, okay? Little Paul, he's a little man. He's in a robe. He wears a robe. He's got his robe. They usually had a rope tied around their waist or a sash of some sort. He's got that there. Probably has a book of Isaiah on the right hip and Ezekiel on the left. And Paul comes into town with his spurs. All right, you big mouths, where are you? You guys shooting your mouth off about spiritual things, you bunch of airbags. He throws down the gauntlet. And he says, we'll compare when I show up, power to power. Whoa, man, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm coming with power. Man, I don't know, man. When you see somebody been shooting their mouth off and then Paul shows up with his spurs and his book of Isaiah. You know what happens? I've seen this happen. People start, the person that yaps a lot just yaps more. And they yap themselves right into trouble. Paul says, you can yap all you want. I'm coming with power. Why? The Holy Spirit was operating in Paul's life. How cool is that? That woman that was caught by the Holy Spirit, a prostitute, and rescued from death. What? How'd that happen? The Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus said, you'll never know them by the words, huh? Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. He never said by their words. How do they live their lives? That's what matters. Don't get me wrong. Even Barack Obama said words matter. What comes out of your mouth is powerful. Listen, powerful to condemn you or powerful to justify you? Oh, they're powerful, all right. Did you grow up with a parent telling you, you're a loser? You big idiot, you can't do nothing right. What's wrong with you? Because of that place of and position, we'll touch on it in a moment about authority, that words come out and it sinks right into a child's heart. I'm not even going to ask you for a show of hands. That's probably all of us. And there's power to that. Yes, words matter. And our current administration is in a freefall disaster because they promised so much and they're doing so little that the people that believe their promises are now turned on them and they're angry. Why? Because you overpromise and you can't fulfill. Words can be incredibly powerful and then hauntingly empty. And when a parent says, I love you no matter what, and I tell you, I don't think we have seen what the church can do if the church would just slow down and stop and listen to what God says when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And if the church believed that, the church would get up and run to the ends of the earth with the gospel, with a jet engine. Power, a power-filled life. The Greek Amplified Version of Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk, affected with wine, which is debauchery, but ever be over and over again filled and stimulated with the effects of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. John 7:37, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Jesus says, I'll give you a drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Acts 1:6. Acts 1:6 says, when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel, the kingdom of God? They were about 2,000 years too early. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Here's his answer. But you shall receive, what is that word? Power, dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Did that not happen? Are you a Christian today? How did it happen? Acts 1. Where did you meet Jesus? Well, the gospel came from the center point of the universe, Jerusalem. By the way, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean this. Please listen. If you forget everything, don't forget this. Don't get out of bed without asking the Lord to fill you afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Are you struggling with temptation and sin? Are you tripping up and finding yourself failing on a constant basis? Like, man, I just keep failing. Listen, are you unable to resist sin? You feel so weak to it? It's because you're fighting all of that in the strength of your own flesh. You need to say, Lord, fill me with your power of your Holy Spirit. Now, somebody's going to tell you, there are denominations that will say, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit's power for a dedicated life until you've emptied yourself of all evil and iniquity and sin. And I understand what they're saying, but it's led to people praying and fasting and coming to a point where they've confessed everything to God and they're thinking, okay, well, gosh, I don't feel anything. I asked him to fill me. I don't have goosebumps. My hair's not standing up on end. I'm not speaking in tongues. I guess it didn't happen. I don't know, God, what's wrong with me? You know, nothing's wrong with you. Ask God to show you whatever sin might separate you from him. He'll show it to you, believe me, in about 5 seconds. Ask him to forgive you. Then listen. Then say, Lord, fill me now with the power of your Holy Spirit. And then get up and live your life and watch for the power. Verses 20 to 21, number three, third point, we'll end with this. Because of what Christianity presents. Christianity presents the kingdom of God. Stop promoting your church. Stop promoting your pastor or wherever you come from or this place. Stop it. Time is running out. Promote the kingdom of God. Christianity is to represent the kingdom of God, not some thing. He says, for the kingdom of God. Mark 1:14, now after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God. And he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And here it is, repent and believe the gospel. That's the first step to experiencing the kingdom of God, repentance. Wow. Listen, you ought to write it down. If you're a visitor, remember these words, because you can go to 1,000 churches today and you will never hear this word again. It's not cool. It doesn't make people happy. Guess what? There ain't no salvation or heaven without it. It's the first word of the gospel. The first word of the gospel that came out of Peter, came out of John, came out of Mark, Matthew, Luke. The first word of the gospel that came out of John the Baptist's mouth, the first word of the gospel out of Jesus' mouth is repent and believe and you shall be saved. Metanoia in Greek. It means your ship is going on in one direction. Whatever that direction it is, turn your ship. Just turn the wheel around. And the moment you turn the wheel around, that means 180 degree turn. The moment you turn around, it's a decision you make. Christ fills your sails. The Spirit fills your sails and leads you on in a 180 degree opposite life. That's the power of the kingdom of God. It's not by wealth. It's not by being religious. It's not by privilege. Actually, it's by being hungry, isn't it? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's why the cults cannot comfort a troubled soul. How terrible. A cult says to someone, join us. And that longing heart says, okay, what do I do? You do this and you do this and you do this. And then when you're done with this, bring your stuff here. We'll check it off. And now you got to do this and all this stuff. And every cult's got their thing. Am I yelling? I'm so passionate about this. Every cult's got its thing about what you have to do to add your little two bits so that God can accept you. And some cults never give that person any chance at all when they say, well, he's capricious, this God that we worship. You don't know how it's going to turn out in the end. No matter how lost a person is, if they're searching and hungering, the only thing that can fill them is the gospel. Also this, verse 20, Christianity represents the authority of God. No wonder why people today are making fun of God and the church and Jesus, because Christians, maybe they're not Christians, have used his name. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. This is a great verse. Paul is saying that the kingdom doesn't have words alone, but more. It's words, but more. It's the power of God. Church, stop thinking that this is just some old dusty book. I want to read this verse to you about the Bible. Hebrews 4:12. And think about this. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit that is of a man and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible. And if Christianity is biblical, it's to follow the scriptures. And if you follow the scriptures, then you'll be a Christian representing true Christianity. Under the power of the Holy Spirit. God, listen, God will establish your, or I should say, his authority through you. Anytime somebody's trying to get authority, get you to bow down, get you to submit, get you to follow them. Why? What's the deal? You guys remember when General Boykin spoke here? For us men, I don't know how it was for you women, but I know how it was for Lisa. She was ready to join the U.S. Army that day. But after 1 hour of hearing that man, and then, you know, we've had privileges to have dinner with him and his wife and to spend more time with him. I'm telling you right now, the more I got to know, my first response was, wherever that man, I was sitting right over here, Mark, right where you're at, wherever that man Wherever that man goes, I'll follow that guy. I'll follow that guy into battle. When he spoke, the power was there. Why? Because the life is there. The obedience to Christ is there. And then when you get to know him, like Paul said, imitate me. And when I hear about what he's doing, you guys, I can't tell you some of the stuff he's doing. I'll just say that he's invading countries now that he's out, now that he works for Jesus. He's invading countries armed with the gospel. No passport, no normal means. Let your imagination go on that one for a little bit. Dropped into enemy-occupied territory where Christianity is illegal. Share Jesus Christ and walk out. Get out of the country alive on your feet. Let me tell you something. I'll follow that guy anywhere. The only thing is, here's the deal. My heart says, yes. And my body says, no way. The life and the words are one. Authority. Let God establish his authority in your life. If you've got to drum it up, it ain't from God. You're a deceiver. And you'll have to sweat to keep it. Let God do it. And you can sleep free. Christianity represents the love of God. Look at verse 21. What a sweetheart he is. Do you want to? What do you desire? Could you hear Paul? So what do you desire? You want me to come? Shall I bring a rod and beat you? I'm coming. I'll come with my rod. I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. I'll beat you if you need beating. You need beating. I'll beat you. Or he says, do you want me to come with love and the spirit of gentleness? I already told you. You're like children to me. We end with this here. The love of God. Christianity represents the love of God. And then you guys, we need to know what the love of God is all about here. The love of God is tender. It's very firm. It's sweet and strong. It's like milk and a strong cup of coffee. It's the total love of God. The perfect parent. So there's times when you and I don't look at me so holy, when you need a spanking. And God spanks us at times. And then there's times when he says, great job. The perfect parent. The question is, do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know him? Are you for real? The words and the lifestyle should be one.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Why Christianity is Such a Problem. It's an interesting title, isn't it? It's a look at the last 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, the title, Why Christianity is Such a Problem. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul the Apostle. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, don't forget to get on board with a whole bunch of other Real Radio listeners who are taking part in the one-year Bible. Can you think of a better way to spend some time during this new year? Our offer still stands. For your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you a copy of the one-year Bible. Now, the one-year Bible is designed in such a way that you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year in as little as 15 minutes a day. And you know what? You're going to feel pretty good about it, too. So whether you call, click, or write, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio and ask for our Book of the Month by name, the one-year Bible. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner that says the one-year Bible, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.